song, a book, and a dish.
On 702.
Quarter to six on 702 Drive. It's something we look forward to all week. It's time for that feature we call A Song, A Book and a Dish, where we meet somebody who's well known to you, who's done remarkable things, but we hope by asking them about a favorite song, a book, and we talk about food, that we'll get to learn some things about them that we didn't know before. Desiree Ellis had a remarkable career as a football player in the Banyana Banyana team. I think it's fair to say she exceeded even that with the remarkable things she's done as coach of the national women's football team in South Africa. Qualification for the World Cup, African champions at the last time of asking, and a host of personal honours as well, capped this week by her being honoured with an honorary doctorate in sports management at the Cape Peninsula University of Technology. Desiree Ellis, welcome to 702 Drive and congratulations on your latest honor.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me and welcome to the listeners.
So, I mean, football, do you know when there was first a ball at your feet and what drew you to the game? Because there were other sports you could have played.
Well, I played hockey at school. I played netball at school. I did athletics at school because back in the day, we didn't have girls football at school. So I played with the boys in the street, you know, in the afternoon when I got home from school. My cousins, younger than me, all boys, played not only like football, but any game that boys played. So
yes.
That's where it started.
And in terms of what else you enjoyed about school, I suppose I'm assuming that you enjoyed school at all, but Drayden Street Primary, Salt River Senior Secondary, what were the best things about those days?
I think just, you know, obviously going to school, being able to play with your friends, those were the times that you would see your friends, looking forward to break time, looking forward to time when you could have recreation, but I also did ballet at school, by the way, until I left primary school. So I did ballet. I was on blocks at the Ian Group. I forgot to tell you that, though.
So,
it was really fun to be at school back in the day. Teachers were really attentive. We had small classes, and they would give you all the attention that they could.
Home life would have been busy. You were the oldest of five kids. Any pressures being the eldest? Your folks both worked. It sounds like they had busy jobs. Your dad, Ernest, a typewriter technician, he'd have been up and down fulfilling his tasks, and your mom in the garment industry, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. My dad was very busy. You know, I joined the girls team at the age of 15, and when I joined the girls team, my parents became very involved. A year after I joined the girls team, the team was about to fold, and what happened was that my parents took over the club and my sisters were all forced to play football.
In terms of life at home, we've asked you for your favorite dish and you've given a wide definition, curries. Was family meal times a big thing in the Ellis household?
No, definitely, especially Christmas over Easter, you know, and not just our immediate family, but broader cousins and, you know, uncles and all came. You know, that used to be a family time. And I think the thing I love most is the curries, especially now, because I live away from home. So I miss the curries that my mom always makes, you know, whether it's seafood, whether it's chicken, whether it's beef. I just love the curries, and that is what I miss. But family time, really, especially over Christmas and Easter, especially those times and birthdays, the whole family would come over, uncles and cousins and everyone.
Tell us a little bit about food in the context of elite level football. Like, first of all, you played and now you're responsible for the performance of players around you. I mean, for example, if you're about to play a CAF semi-final, for the sake of argument, do you eat and can you eat, or are you too anxious?
No, you can eat. I think everybody is different. They would have, it depends. If we play at 3 o'clock, our pre-match meal would be at 12 o'clock.
Right.
You know, and there would be breakfast earlier. So the breakfast was optional because it's so close to pre-match meal. So some would have a light breakfast and then have the pre-match meal, and it would consist of maybe a spaghetti with some mince or some tomato base or or chicken, etc. Sometimes there would be boiled potatoes because not everybody eats chicken.
Right.
You know, so it would be based on that. And when we normally book into hotels or venues, we would send them our menu of what it is that we want. And normally we don't eat from the same menu as the normal people in the hotel eat from, unless we have a look and see that it's similar to what foods are similar to what we have in camp.
I'm wondering what you do about, first of all, do you have extreme pre-match nerves or is that something you've got over for good?
No, I've gotten over that a long time ago. I used to be very nervous before games. Doesn't matter who we played. That was just me being nervous before games. But once I got onto the field, you know, and touched the ball, the nerves would be gone. Because you know, you're not just representing yourself, but you're presenting the whole country. You're representing your family. So you are nervous to make sure that you want to play a really good game. I'm not nervous at all because our job as coaches is done. It's now up to the players to go ahead and execute the game plan. Yes, we give instructions during the game and, you know, after the game. And sometimes things go really well and you just stand there and applaud.
Yes.
You know, so nerves are, for me, definitely no longer a part of my vocabulary, as I'm not a player anymore.
It must be nice because I go through terrible nerves just watching, but clearly you've worked through it. I want to go back a little bit, Desiree, and ask you this. I mean, we asked you to choose books. You referred to your own biography from Salt River to the 2023 World Cup. Magic is the title of the book. The journalist, the excellent Luke Alfred, and I recommend that people get that and read it. But you've also spoken about your enjoyment of Sir Alec Ferguson's book titled very simply, My Autobiography. When you read books about footballers and sports stars, what are you looking for there? Are you looking for insights or are you simply reading them for pleasure?
Look, I read them not just for pleasure, but it also gives you a bit of an understanding of how things happen on the other side, sort of.
Yes.
You know, you actually get almost inspired by some of the stuff. On, for example, Sir Alex, how he built teams over the years, you know, how he trusted the players, you know, how he stood by the players, all of those things. So I think that is something that I live by as well. When I select a player, I trust the player wholeheartedly and I support that player and I back the player. And no matter what happens, I still back the player. So I think that I've learned from him. You know, then there's other books that you also read of other sports people, of how they've changed their careers when things didn't go well, etc. You know, and through all of those, we learn a
yes.
lot of things. But it also gives you a little bit of a thought of, oh, this is how they've done it. Maybe we can do it this way or et cetera.
And you also read romance novels. At what point in the cycle of a football year, what are we talking here? Danielle Steele, that kind of book? And
And there's a lot of online, so you don't physically get the book. A lot of that online. So when I have time, I really do read that as well.
Yeah, and is that just to take yourself out of the moment, out of the tournament, out of your head?
Absolutely, because my life is football 24/7. So you've got to have a space where you just, you know, shut off or shut down. And it's not a lot of time though, but you have to have time because when the one competition ends or the one FIFA window ends, you're already preparing for the next one because it might be a month or a month and a half away.
We're going to talk music and we're going to play your choice of song, How Great Is Our God. Chris Tomlin, the many times Grammy nominated American artist, winner of a Grammy in 2012. But before we get into the music, can I just ask, who chooses the dressing room music? Who's the DJ on the bus? Do you stay out of it or do you every once in a while say, hang on, it's my turn?
No, we don't. We leave that up to the players. And Andile normally brings a little beatbox with her to play that. And it would just be, you know, Bluetooth via someone's phone with the music. Sometimes Lauren, the manager, would play her songs. And she's got a wide variety of songs. And the players, you know, eyes roll when some of the songs play because of some of their favorites as well.
Yeah. Well, it's the music is clearly working, judging by the performance of the team. Desiree Ellis, many thanks for spending time with us and sharing with us your song, your book and your dish. And once again, congratulations on that honorary doctorate. We look forward to more success for you and for Banyana Banyana. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
So here it is, Chris Tomlin, How Great Is Our God.
Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice.